Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we don't have many words this morning, Lord, other than that there is no other foundation than which is already laid, and that is Jesus Christ. And we also recognize this morning that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is only you that could change hearts. It is only you that can cause a heart to be done with lesser things and done with the world and ready to serve Christ. The message of the cross is upside down according to this world. That upside down kingdom can only be experienced in Christ. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for each one who's here this morning and for the message that has already been preached. Lord, we recognize it's a very powerful message that men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, will stand and give a testimony of how you have changed their life and changed their desires. What a beautiful thing, Lord. So we're crying out to you this morning, Lord, that you would do it again. Lord, there's people, I believe, in this assembly who have never been born from above. There's young men, there's young ladies, I don't know this crowd, Lord. There's many people in this place. And so we cry to you this morning, Lord, that your name would be lifted up, and that your name would be exalted, and that the wisdom of men would be put down, and the wisdom of God would be exalted in this place. And so we love you and thank you for each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. So what a blessing. I have been contemplating a little bit here on how to finish the morning out. It's such a blessing. I was so blessed by the testimonies of all you various brothers and sisters here of the life-changing experience of them being born from above. And so so I pray that you would pray for me that I would be able to maybe shorten what I have here this morning to just a short message here because of the time that has passed by. It seems like we're always in a race against the clock. But nonetheless, we believe it is and needful that the Word of God is expounded here this morning a bit more. So those of you who have your Bibles, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as I was meditating what to share here with those desiring baptism, I was just thought of several points that I was wanting to bring out here, and so I was going to try to shorten it up here, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 5, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come are all yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. As I thought of you who gave your testimony in going forward with baptism this afternoon, I thought of just an exhortation to stay on the foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ, and there is no other foundation. You know, as we consider foundations of our day, you know, it's standard to go down 3 foot for a foundation in this county, but you know, that's just an earthly foundation, and those aren't known to last as Jesus Christ would. You know, I was thinking of this year, last year we built onto our shop and we put a foundation down 3 foot, and we thought that was sufficient. Well, we had the coldest winter on record, and there was a small water leak outside by my hydrant. And this water got underneath the foundation, and it actually lifted the corner of my building up, and the drywall started cracking. And so the foundation should have been deeper. And so that's the beauty of Jesus Christ this morning, is that foundation has no want. It can't be more sure and steadfast. These earthly foundations that are on our buildings in the physical, you know, they're going to pass away. And he was also, I believe, thinking, maybe Paul was thinking of Solomon's temple, how that the cornerstone, you know, it referred to Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, as the foundation. You know, in Solomon's temple, there was a huge rock that was uncovered years later, and it was like 38 foot long at least, and it weighed over 100 tons. And this was the cornerstone that had come in from, my understanding, about 12 miles away from a quarry there. And this was all done without modern technology. But anyway, we're talking about Christ here this morning. And just to expand our minds to the earthly things, and then just to take them on to Christ and him being that there is no foundation that any other man can lay save Jesus Christ. And so that's, as I considered you seven this morning, you know, my plea is that you would stay on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And it's just a beautiful thing. Matthew 21:42, Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in your eyes, or in our eyes. And so that's this morning, these testimonies that were shared. It is the Lord's doing. It is not something that a man can do. Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and many stumble on that stumbling stone, and the rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed, speaking of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then 2 Peter 2:6-8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So this morning the question could be asked, on what foundation are you building this morning? Are you born from above? And then secondly, we could ask, what materials are you using? Are we using precious stones, gold, silver? Or are we using wood, hay, and stubble? So this morning, number one, remember that we have an anchor, or we have a foundation in Jesus Christ that is unshakable and unmovable. Number two, remember the anchor that we have in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 6:17-19. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That immutability is unable to be changed. That it's unable to be changed. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that ye might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge and lay hold upon the hope set before us. Someone mentioned this morning, I don't know if it was out here, Brother Paul, or in the prayer room, they mentioned something about the enemy is a liar. And then the opposite is true. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. His word is truth. His promises are settled in heaven forever. And that consolation is comfort and encouragement. That we might have a strong comfort and encouragement that God cannot lie. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that which is with behind the veil, within the veil. It is in the holiest of holies this morning. We have an anchor into the holiest of holies through Christ Jesus. And I was just, we sang that song this morning. Will your anchor hold? And so I want to exhort and encourage the seven souls this morning who are coming forward for baptism, that they would remember the anchor in Christ. You know, these ships that go out at sea, you know, their anchor has to be sized accordingly to the size of the ship. But this anchor that we have in Christ, it is all-powerful. It is almighty. It has no limits, no bounds. It is not limited as a small anchor that we throw out and maybe the strong wind comes and kind of drifts the boat, you know, against the wind or with the wind. And so we have to remember our anchor. And by the way, I was just going to share, I was just really blessed with the testimonies everyone shared, the life-changing experience. You know, may it just go on, and may it you know, just grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. The verse of the song says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. So this morning, we could exhort you. I could exhort us all here this morning. Are you drifting from your anchor? Are you drifting from your anchor? So, Psalm 61:2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Beautiful words. Beautiful words of consolation and of the anchor we have in Christ. Psalm 62:6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved if we're in Christ. But I believe there are those who choices have consequences. The law of reaping and sowing. So I believe that it needs to be with purpose of heart that we cleave to our anchor, Jesus Christ, and stay on that foundation. Therefore, Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So the good news is this morning that if you are drifting, if you are drifting away from that anchor, there's good news. You can come back. Repentance. This is the day of grace. This is the day of repentance. Repent, believe, and be baptized. Number three, I believe this is very, it's not a biblical word that I'm going to use, but I believe it's very real. And it's called influence. I believe that we should beware of influence. There's just much that could be said about that. There's a couple of verses here that I have on that. Ephesians 4:29, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. No, that wasn't the reference. That was, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. That's the word of God. So without being firmly fastened and focused on our anchor or in Christ, you will be, it's possible, I believe, to those let those evil communications corrupt our good manners. That was Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So there's just much that could be said about influence. And you all know, we all know what is good influence and what is bad influence. And to the seven souls this morning, I just want to encourage you, beware of evil influence. And maybe even questionable influence. Because it has potential to corrupt good manners. I noticed recently, as I read a little bit on the automakers of this country, there's an ever increasing problem in this country with young people, and they're saying that they want to raise the age to drive to 21 because there's more and more of them having accidents, being killed by just maybe foolishness of texting while driving and various things, speed. And I just believe that it would behoove the people of God to not have to do what the world has done. I believe that a changed heart is the answer. But the world, what they're doing is they're making this little chip that parents can put in their car. And it's fastened right into the fuse box. And it can't be taken out without an alert going off. But anyway, this thing, they'll have an app on their iPhone that they can pull up, and they can see where their young person is, where the car is. They can find the address. They know the speed, and it has a recorder on it that will give the highest speed, the lowest speed. And they're doing all these things because there's no relationship with the Lord Jesus. They're doing this because There's a huge problem in our society, and they're trying to figure out technical ways to fix it. But what needs to happen, there needs to be repentance in believing on Jesus and a changed heart. And so it's just interesting, and I was thinking of, influence. I thought of nicknames. In our day, when we were young, that was a common thing, having a nickname for everybody we knew. And some were good and some were bad. I would just encourage us as the body of Christ, don't stoop to that level. Don't stoop to that level. Because your work, it'll be tried by fire. We just read here in 1 Corinthians 3 there. Everyone, all of our work will be tried by fire. And then the fourth one goes hand in hand. It's guard against peer pressure. Just purpose in your heart to not allow the pressure of your peers to penetrate your who you are in Christ, who you are with your family, with your parents. Had a few verses in Acts chapter 2 that I wanted to read there. Acts 2, 39, 38 to 42. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And I believe that has to do with influence and with peer pressure. Save yourself from this untoward generation. And you know, the meaning of untoward is it means crooked. You know, it means something that has a crook in it. It's not straight. And Jesus exhorted us, enter in at the straight gate. So this crooked, perverse generation, this untoward generation, unless they repent, will perish. And then verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that they took off, they let up on that crooked path, and they went on the straight path toward Jesus. In Matthew 7 there, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there which go in that. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. You know, that's the sobering words this morning. It says there's few that find that straight gate. You know, as I think of recently, we flew, and I was looking at some of some of the things on pilots and what they think about, you know, their life, their inside life. And I was just struck by this one comment that was made, that a pilot, if you really want to bless a pilot and tell him something that will compliment him at the end of the flight, you tell him, good landing, pilot. And that just makes their day. That's what they're graded by. They're graded by their good landing. They're not graded by the powerful takeoff, this amazing thrust of jet fuel and engines and technology that causes this how many pound jet to just take off and fly through the air. They're not graded by that. They're graded by a smooth landing. And it reminded me of in Christ, we're not graded by a beautiful takeoff. We're graded by our finish. You know, you got to take that as a grain of salt. But it's just a beautiful example, I feel, of that, you know, it's not at the beginning. As beautiful as it is. I mean, the glorious testimonies we heard this morning have changed life. But the point is I want you to have a smooth landing. And God does. And your parents do. And praise God for that. So number four, guard against peer pressure. I think I'm going to have to skip some of this. But anyway, going on, number five is prayer life. I just think we can't focus or we can't emphasize enough the necessity of our prayer life. There's times when, you know, we just kind of slack off. I find myself doing that. There's times when I just don't feel the fervor. I don't feel the energy or the need for prayer. But it is so important. So I want to encourage you souls this morning, remember your prayer life. It's the lifeline. It's the lifeline to worship and to Christ and to, you know, prayer is so important. It's mentioned over 250 times in Scripture. And Jesus, the apostles asked him, Jesus, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. You know, I was just thinking recently, and it's always a blessing to share, you know, when we've had a prayer answered. Just recently, I've been praying for my Uncle Elmer for many months, years, whatever it was. More recently, since I heard he was, health is failing, his congestive heart failure. And so I've just been praying for his salvation, and it seemed that I was hindered in going to visit him. Every time I would think, well, this certain night of the week, we're going to pack up and we're going to go to the hospital or the nursing home, and I'm going to visit my Uncle Elmer. And I was just amazed as I thought of this, you know. And then recently, as we went up there and, you know, was very blessed, he's born again, and, he's wanting to serve the Lord Jesus in his last days. But anyway, it was an hour before I got there. An hour before I got there, I think his pastor or someone was there, and he was compelled to give his heart to Jesus for the first time. He's 73 years old, I think. And so I was just thinking of God, you know, I was wanting to go, but, you know, maybe I was hindered, you know. But so just to have peace when we can't do something we really want to do and yet allow God to show us the difference of just being negligent or being slothful. Allow God to give us peace that we would know the difference. So anyway, the prayer life, there was much of verses I had on that, but I think I'm just going to go on here to number 6. And that one is honor. Honoring your parents. There's several youth here today that were, gave testimony. And just remember how important honor is. Ephesians 6 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Just the importance of honoring. I believe it has much to do with where we'll be in 5 years. If we decide to have honor for those around us, our parents. And it starts. We can't do these things if we're not born of the Spirit. If we're not born from above. If we're not born again. You know, when I was thinking of Father's Day, and I just thought it would be a blessing to encourage the young people here. Do special things for your dad and your mom on Mother and Father's Day. It is such a blessing to them. Just it doesn't have to be a great thing, but just little things to show them that you care. Because they do much for you, and they have a heart for you. And so just encourage us, the young people, to honor your parents and to, you know, it starts with honoring Christ, honoring the Lord Jesus. But it is just very important. You know, there was, I think in 1910, Mrs. John Bruce Dodd was a lady that she planned the first Father's Day in honor of her father who had raised 6 children devotedly. After his wife had passed away. So it has origins of just acts of sacrifice. Sacrificing your life. Many of your parents have sacrificed much for you. So just honor them. Because it's God's heart. And then the last one, number 7. Is words in Revelation 22. That Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And then he said to remember that. So I believe it's very important this morning that we would remember that Jesus is coming soon. It's very easy to put that way out there. Christ is not coming. You know, it's just going to be a while. But we don't know as we think of, you know, Peter Zara, a young man, died of cancer. We don't know, but we do know that his word teaches us, behold, I come quickly. Revelations 22, 12 to 21 there. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha, the Omega. And that work there, I believe, is, you know, that are you building with gold, silver, precious stones? Are you building with wood, hay, and stubble? I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments and they that have right to the tree of life. that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto thee these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty for Christ and for God this morning? Jesus is inviting you. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But as we heard this morning, there is a sacrifice. There is a surrender. There is a surrender that's needed, a full surrender to come to Christ. But Jesus is inviting all that are here this morning who have not tasted. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the 7 points this morning were: stay on the foundation. Remember the anchor we have in Christ. Guard against influence, evil manners. Guard against peer pressure. And remember to keep your prayer life vibrant. Honor your parents and remember Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. So God bless you all. Sorry if it seemed kind of rushed here, but Lord bless your day.